these items and agreed that with Bill Council out of Juneau. You follow what I mean?
I got what the people are.
Yeah. In other words, they made their independent judgments based upon the evidence, and they believed what they chose to believe based upon the evidence. But I cannot tell you, since I cannot look into their minds, what it is they chose to believe and what they didn't choose to believe. Now, the next time around, what we'll try to do is come up with a statement of reasons. Remember that I mentioned to you before? And each of them will sign off on it. Or they'll be given an opportunity to sign off on it, and so we'll be able to say with that degree of particularity that...
No, the thing is, Mr. Chairman and Representative, these deliberations of the Judicial Council were confidential in closed session. Out of that confidential meeting, there was a conscious decision, number one, not to refer the thing to the Commission on Judicial Conduct. Number two, there was no finding that was publicized that the judge did in fact engage in unethical behavior. If they had found that, presumably they could have publicized that. But they didn't make that finding.
They didn't make that finding.
That's so what they found.
People
That's
feel
what they did.
That because they said no retention, they found something they just aren't telling us. Which makes
no sense. I think that's abundantly clear. No. I don't think it's a matter of feeling. I think it's a matter of an obvious inference. Otherwise, why do it?
Oh, I don't
think... This is non-retention we're talking about.
Yes, but there are about six or seven reasons you don't retain them.
Yes, but they didn't choose of the six or seven. They chose this one that had to do with... What's the phrase?
It's called integrity.
Integrity.
But it does not mean necessarily unethical behavior.
Well, I don't see how you can violate integrity as a judge and remain ethical.
Well, why don't you explain it, Mr. Brown?
Yes, please do. And I don't... We've already been through the appearance of impropriety. But unless you're going to tell me that all of this was limited to appearances and that actually... After an investigation, there was no substance there, then that would be an answer.
Mr. Chairman, let him answer the question. The question is, what does integrity mean besides whether or not a person is ethical? As far as your use of the term on the council. Ms. Karen,
you said it before, Mr. Brown, excuse me, you said it before. You said the appearance or the, substantive... The act of impropriety, the appearance of impropriety or actual impropriety.
Ms. Karen's last time testified at some length, and you correct me if I'm wrong, Ms. Greenstein, you were here, that the term integrity means more than whether or not a person is ethical. And I assume that that is correct. Correct me if I'm wrong, sir.
Well, there are aspects of reputation that go into the matter. I have a very lengthy definition that I'm afraid that I didn't bring with me, unfortunately, of the American Bar Association. You want to attempt to tackle that question?
Yeah, basically, the difference is the questions that's phrased in the bar survey is designed to get a general, I think you're correct saying reputational or other sense of general appearances and general feel, for lack of a better word. It's not necessarily based on any particular facts. It's the person's reaction to that particular quality in the person.
I think that the chairman's concern is a legitimate one if you are not very clear that there is, in fact, a difference between the term, quote, integrity, is the way you're using it, and the term ethical behavior. As I understand it, if you look at it as two concentric circles, all behavior that is unethical would violate the term integrity. But there are some facets of the term integrity that do not fall into the question of unethical behavior. And
but all of them are irrelevant, because if the guy doesn't pay his rent or he lies to his mother, it has absolutely nothing to do with your investigation of his behavior as a judge. And if you think that there's a problem with his integrity as related to being a judge, I'd like to know, other than the appearance of impropriety, which I consider irrelevant, what else is there? Well, it's relevant to all of you, but to me, it's not relevant. To me, what is relevant is whether the guy is honest or woman, honest and ethical, and doing the job in a way that is legitimate. And any breach of that is fine if you're a shop clerk, and, borderline if you're an elected representative who has to, try to translate the mood of his people forward. But when you're speaking about a judge who has the power to put people in jail, the slightest breach of integrity to me, if it relates to his duties as a judge, is grounds for dismissal. I mean the slightest. Okay. And my concern, and it's not going to go away, obviously, from this hearing, is that if there is one iota of evidence before the judicial council that this person may, in fact, be in some manner dishonest, which is the lack of integrity, I just can't imagine a justification for that not immediately being turned over to the Commission on Judicial Conduct as a matter of practice and form. Just period.
Let me, Representative,
it goes over.
Representative,
Mr. Gruenberg.
Without our talking at these people, but we...
Well, I admit I'm trying to find some way to send a message. You know, if it's not going to be this piece of legislation or combining these two entities or creating, you know, an unpleasant hearing, I really don't know what to do. But this is just dead wrong. You know, a group of people responsible for the review of a judge says there's something wrong with this guy, and the group of people responsible for disciplining that judge never gets to review it. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Gruenberg.
Okay.
Mr. Brown. Ms. Greenstein.
I think in order to get the answer to your question, and they are not just playing semantic games here, you need to really listen to what is being said.
Well, what is your point?
My point is that within the term integrity are things that don't fall in the question of being ethical.
What are those?
That's what I was going to ask.
I mean, it's the third time it's been asked.
Yeah, but they didn't get a chance to answer. Please answer.
You're making an answer.
I think. Ms. Greenstein, were you in the midst of your answer from this thing?
No.
Can I try? Basically, the Code of Judicial Conduct narrowly defines certain types of aspirations that judges should live up to. If they fall short of that, they can be disciplined for misconduct. There might be other things that people would think of as integrity when filling out the survey question. It wouldn't necessarily include those. Such as, you know, the examples Representative Gall used, maybe bouncing checks, or I don't know what those things might be. Things that you don't view as being good things in a person, but don't necessarily go to the heart of their being a good judge or an ethical judge in the sense of the
judicial canons. I think if you look at the canons of Code of Judicial Conduct, you'll find things that prohibit a judge from, like, bouncing checks.
Well,
I don't think that's really a good example.
Okay.
But
Max, now you're arguing my point. Make me give you the list.
Well, wait, if I may, you cut me off in the middle of
I didn't cut you off.
Well,
you asked a question. I'd like to hear the answer.
Let me finish, if I may, Mr. Chairman. But
Mr. Gruenberg.
That if a person conducts themselves, just their demeanor, makes snide comments to witnesses, and does a number of different things in the way they conduct themselves on the bench, there are specific categories on the bar poll that will violate. My interpretation, as a person who's filled these things out, and I may be wrong, is that integrity is sort of a catch-all. And you might find doing various things, and it's just the bottom line, what kind of integrity do you think this person, what kind of a character does the person have? I don't know. Maybe it'd be helpful to show the members of the committee a copy of the bar poll so they can see how the thing is set up.
Max, excuse me, but now, you've asked them a specific question. You've indicated that you answer in a general way, but I'd like to hear what the answer to your question is, because you've given an example about, you know, committing a fraud, you know, that is, you know, not illegal, only somehow questionable when people write bad checks. I mean, I know people in jail for that, so I guess I'm missing the point there.
That's a bad example, I take it.
Well, let's get some accurate examples. What do you mean by integrity that does not mean a violation of ethics?
The judicial canons.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Not returning library books on time, how's that?
Yeah.
I mean, there are certain things that people do in the course of their
life. How many of those have you had experience with reports like that? Have there been several?
Well, I mean, that's...
Well, I mean,
you're asking... There are some ridiculous extremes, of course.
Let's not use those. Let's use your examples from real life as to what means violation of integrity, but not violation of ethics or the code of whatever you said. I mean, what are we talking about?
Well, if you want to go on our experience, I must say that we just... This is the first time we've made this kind of a recommendation from a Superior Court judge, and we don't have a lot of experience in this particular area. But you know, if I know that the question has been framed, and I don't want to appear to be ducking the question, I must tell you that it's very difficult to answer unless it's in the context a particular fact. And I think that, if I may be permitted,
please,
that where you may be off the track, so to speak.
Please, okay, feel free, because I really think this is serious, and if I'm wrong...
You have assumed all the way along that the reason why the council took its action was because of Judge Johnstone's integrity.
Is that incorrect?
That's incorrect. I can't tell you that that is the reason. There may have been any number of reasons, but there was information that went on the issue of Judge Johnstone's integrity, and there was the survey information, which I submit to you, would have been a reasonable enough basis for any member of that council to have made a decision, just the survey information, not to retain it. So, and it goes back to the issue that I've been talking about, is that Leona Ocococ did not give me her reasons for voting the way that she did, nor did Bill Council or any of the other members that voted that day.
Right.
There was a basket full of information in front of them, some of which they may have discarded and some of which they may didn't.
Right.
Some of it may have included evidence which, if true, would be an ethical violation or a violation of the judicial canons. I can't tell you. You have assumed all along that the basis for the decision by the council was unethical conduct on the part of this judge.
That's correct.
And I can't tell you that that's the case.
Well, you have on the record told me that was not the case. Do you want to correct that? I can play back the tape. I asked you, was that not the case? You said that was not the case. Do you want to correct that?
No, you said, was there any evidence of unethical behavior? It was
just in the last couple seconds, and maybe I didn't speak loud or something like that. Let's just get it clear here. I said, you mean then that was not the reason? And you said that's correct. Would you like me to retract that question?
Or I don't think there's any need. If you got the impression that I said that, and if I said that, I misspoke myself.
That's right.
I cannot tell you what the reason was for the
council
taking...
But it may have been unethical conduct.
It may have been.
Okay. Well, listen, I am very grateful for your taking this line of questioning so well and responding so accurately and clearly. I think the two things you said that struck me were, number one, that a vote was taken, a decision was made by the Judicial Council not to send this over to the commission for investigation, which satisfies the procedural concern, and that no individual citizen who might have, by the snap of their fingers, if you will,
even by what they read in the newspaper,
you know, made an inquiry to the commission. Nobody did that. I think the only thing that I would raise would be, I think it should be a matter of procedure within the council, that when and if it is an issue of integrity that leads to a decision for non-retention or a recommendation, that should automatically trigger an investigation by the commission, because where there's smoke, there's fire, and we're talking about judges. But I'm not about to introduce legislation of that effect, so my opinions are pretty much unimportant. All I would ask is that this review of this issue be considered very seriously at the next meeting of the council and the commission, and then we get back even just by short memo, what their conclusions were, because to me the whole issue of confidentiality is brought into question by this. Obviously, as Mr. Martin said, the people assume certain things occurred, and not talking about them doesn't make that go away and doesn't meet the requirement of protecting the integrity of the judiciary. I think when it reaches a level where integrity is the doubtful thing, then it's got to be processed. And I've said it half a dozen times, half a dozen different ways, and I'm done. There's not much else I can say. Mark?
I just wanted to add that in the future, I've only been with the Commission on Judicial Conduct for a couple of months, but in the future what we can do is the survey results of the Judicial Council are public, and if there are low integrity ratings on a judge, the Commission on Judicial Conduct can't institute its own investigation. So what I can do in the future is, on the basis of the public surveys, tell you that I would start an investigation if the integrity scores.
Why don't you both bring it back to your bodies and see what you think is right? I just don't want the public feeling that something got, I won't say hushed up, because I don't think it read that way at all. I'd say it was publicized, but but that was the end of it. And I'll tell you personally, and this is just an aside and it's strictly personal, I think a group of amateurs out there rating judges can really lead to some problems in this regard. And if you do decide to create these advisory boards, I suggest you speak with the REAAs about their experience with advisory boards and other public entities, especially in the education system, but elsewhere as well, to give you some sense of just how dangerous, in terms of managing your information, an advisory board can be if not carefully selected and very well managed, and to suggest that that management will come without cost, I doubt it.
It can be very volatile, I understand.
Well, that's my feeling. I mean, here we've got at least a group of people who have a, you know, a kind of a statutory set of parameters in which they're expected to think. But you have an advisory board out there, and that's gone, and what you have is people expressing their personal feelings. And that may be good, it may not be good, but to suggest that your reports not be printed, only your recommendations, and their discussions be printed, would make me pretty nervous.
Well, I didn't mean to convey that impression, but somehow it seems to me that what we wanted to do was to make sure that the local advisory committee had a role in the decision-making process.
I have no objection to having, you know, people who have direct knowledge of the situation participate at a higher level. I would just be very careful of what, you know, I just watch the board of fish, you know, totally.
I think that's good advice. Let me just say one thing in closing. And I was going to say to it, if I had had the opportunity to meet with you before the meeting.
Yes, forgive me about that, too. We just ran into a terrible schedule.
That's all right. I just wanted to tell you that our relationship with the legislature is something of great concern to us. And we don't want to be at loggerheads, and we don't want to have any misunderstandings, and we want to do everything that we can, that we can conceivably do, to persuade you that this system that we're working on, as imperfect as it is really as good as our minds can make it at the present time, and we're constantly striving to improve upon how we go about doing things. But it's a learning process, and this is the first time that a Superior Court judge has ever received this kind of recommendation from us, the next time it'll be a new experience. But we're certainly aware of your concern, and the council is certainly going to hear of it.
I think it's an indication of how seriously we do take the Judicial Council, that the very fact that you came up with that recommendation seemed to the members of the committee a complete explanation of why an investigation was needed by the Commission on Judicial Conduct. If you guys think there's a problem, as far as I'm concerned, there's a problem, and it needs to be looked into. And that's how this all came about. I also have things to learn, mostly about not showing my strong feelings on these things. But there is nothing that goes beyond this meeting that hasn't been stated.
I think we'll try a paper bag.
We may try a paper bag, or we may try to beat some responsibility into the legislature, but I'm sure the first is more likely to occur than the second. But my point is only that the issues that concern me are very specific. If there was a problem, why didn't it go to the next place? The two reasons you gave me were adequate, although I do think the procedure to deal with ethical questions being automatically conveyed is something that I'd be grateful if you both go back and look at. Other than that, you don't have to be concerned that there are lingering, unstated, or unexpressed issues here. So.
I just wanted to mention that I will be in town for the next 2 days if the committee would like to consider testimony on the proposed legislation on the Commission on Judicial Conduct.
If we have time tomorrow, what I'd suggest is, why don't you give a call to each member of the committee. They've had ample time to review this. Ask them if they have any concerns.
Has it been introduced?
Yeah.
No, it was it introduced in the Senate?
No,
it hasn't been introduced.
Well, why don't we just
excuse me?
Because in order to avoid a prolonged delay at the next meeting, it would be useful strategically, if you just touch base with the members, make sure there were no concerns, and we'll introduce it.
It's been introduced. Sorry.
It's been introduced. Well, I guess all we
need to do is hear it. Everybody agreed on it.
Everybody agreed on it.
But when we have the bill up, you can just testify by telephone.
Okay.
Will you want me to...
That will be added.
Will you want me to be here tomorrow, or... I'm planning to be back next week. If there's any questions or anything, give me a call.
I don't think we've got anything else. I've beaten this as far as I can. Meeting's adjourned.